Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network. Preparedness Radio. With your host, John Jeffers.
And good evening. John Jeffers here on a Wednesday night. Your host, founder and executive producer here at Contra Radio Network. I'm here to chat with you and to provide you with valuable, matter of fact, invaluable information for your prepper and patriot wants and needs. All right, Neil, tonight my guest is going to be Rob A. Rob got a hold of me last week and he says, hey, I want to come on your show. I said, okay, fine. What do you want to talk about? And he says, I want to talk about homesteading. Okay. So here we are tonight. Rob will be calling in about 8:15 or so. Notes. Notes I want to put out to you. One thing, congratulations to Pam Kaz. That's Terry's wife. She took her citizenship oath today. So, to Pam Kaz, I say to you this, welcome to the club. That's always good news. When we have a new citizen, new legal citizen. All right, second thing, finally in. After about, I don't know, almost a year, not quite, but almost. I want to say thank you to Kevin Hartley and his law firm for successfully pursuing my needs and wants. My needs and wants are this. The CRN logo has been trademarked. That's right. So for those of you out there trying to scam your way with Contra Radio and everything else like that, no more. There'll be an infringement on my trademark. The logo, the show, everything's been trademarked. Took forever. But then again, it was a government project, so yeah. Efficient? No. And with Kevin Hartley and his law firm, I want to say something about those guys. Very conscientious. And they were not the cheapest out there. But for the price and what they offered, and when I say they weren't the cheapest, they were probably one of the most expensive ones out there, but they pulled it off. They got it done. And so with that, I've had a chance to chat with Kevin for a little bit about CRN. And so you might see some different things going into effect. So we'll see what happens with it. In the meantime, Porky Wheel is in the video feed chat room on Facebook. Go to the Contra Radio Network group page and you can feel free to join us on the video feed. And Austin has also joined us in the video feed chat room. Welcome, gentlemen. Glad you're here. Absolutely. Let's think, what else do I want to tell you? Also, later on tonight, I have to go back through all my graphics and apply the little, you know, circle, the R circle. It's a registered trademark. So we'll get that taken care of tonight. So that's something I'll be doing. Be listening to Spotify and my listening, my playlist. So what else is going to tell you guys? We, even though listenership has dropped, and it could be, like I said, I think it's due to the election of Donald Trump. A lot of preppers and patriots really don't feel the excruciating pressure or need to keep prepping. And the patriots, however, are rocking and rolling. That's good. I like patriots. So with that said, let us move on to another subject. Let me find it first. Oh, yeah. A little story I want to tell you. How many of you out there watch The Walking Dead? I've been watching it since it debuted years ago. And they got this character. He's introduced last season, and he's on it this season. I'm talking about the character of Negan. Well, the other last week, I was at a birthday party. And I was a little inebriated, not quite. I mean, I had my share of Jimmy Beam. And I usually don't drink. I don't drink nearly as much as I used to. So I usually drink maybe once or twice a year. But this was one of those times, so I did. Well, I came home, and I was able, and, you know, the wife drove, because there's no way I'm driving. I came home, and I realized I can talk like Negan. Needless to say, the wife didn't find it so amusing and fun. It got to the point, the dog, the dog was here, the Malinois was here, and got home, and I said, puppy, dog. And I kept saying that, and the wife finally said, shut up. So whenever I want to irritate her, I just start talking like Negan. No, I don't carry a baseball bat named Lucille with me when I do it. That all I need to do is start talking like Negan, and it gets her crazy. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Yeah, on occasion, the dog will, when I do that, the dog will look and go, the dog looks at me like, okay. All right. I had to share it with you guys. I know some people get it. If you don't watch the show, you won't get it. But if you do, you'll get it. You'll hopefully give you a little chuckle. All right. We got a new listener, new follower. It's Angela and Gabriel. I'm not sure which one it is. But needless to say, I'm not going to use their last names because we don't do that here at CRN. You know, a lot of preppers and patriots don't like their last names used, but that's okay. I know it, and I'm not going to put it out there. So I say, in fact, Angela plus Gabriel have managed to find us here on the CRN group page. We got Gabriel. Okay, it's Gabriel. Welcome, Gabriel. Glad you're here. They just liked the page this afternoon, from what I could tell, and went ahead and boink, boink, boink. And liked it, got him in there. Apparently Rob A. is in the room. I'm waiting for him to call in. 516-453-9389, and we'll start talking about homesteading. Now, if you have questions about homesteading, what it is, or this is Rob's experience with it. So we're going to let Rob talk about it. That's what we want to talk about. We're going to, let him fly with it. So that's, it's just the way it is. So, in the meantime, as soon as we get him going, we'll get him in here, we will put him on, and we'll get started. Now, if you want to get a hold of Rob, ask him questions about homesteading, or, comment on it, or whatever, our number is 516-453-9389. Also, you can get a hold of us on the chat room on the video feed. It's rocking and rolling right now. Got a few people in there. That's good. Good stuff. Now, I was thinking about, I've asked you guys the last couple of months, what show, CRN is the name of the network. That's what it is. But the Wednesday night show, I don't have a name for. So I was, I've been thinking around there, and I wanted to try this out. Want to know what you guys think. I was thinking about calling the show Nightfly. Or maybe The Nightfly, or just Nightfly. What do you guys think? Let me know. I'm just kind of punching around. Because now that I got the CRN trademarked, any show I do is protected by that trademark. So it's like, I believe the term is intellectual property. Okay, fine. Whatever. All right. What else do we have going on? All right. It's like Rob's calling in. Let's get it going. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, John, how are you?
Good, my friend. Good, good, good. I see your buddy Gabriel is in with us tonight. That's good. You're a good listener.
Yeah, he's
You get a gold star tonight.
So he's stuck having to hear me ramble on and on all day long, and now he gets to hear me ramble on all night.
That's all right. That's all right. So you got hold of me last week and wanted to do a show about homesteading. Is that correct?
It is.
Well, take it away, sir. And let me ask you something, just to get started. What is your definition of homesteading? When people, we preppers and patriots, we hear the term homesteading. What does it mean? What is it?
Being able to try to be as self-sufficient as you possibly can. Now, I'm still on the grid. We have not gotten into we have solar in the works along with wind power in the works. We do not have that complete yet. As of right now, we try to raise as much of our own food as we can. All of our water is caught off the roof. We heat our house exclusively with firewood. And we try to grow as much of our vegetables as we can, and we try to raise as much of the meat as we can. And part of that is I'm getting now into the growing feed thing with my animals.
Hey, Rob, I'm losing your signal.
You got me now? Can you hear me?
You keep cutting in and out. Go ahead.
I'm calling on it via the internet.
Yeah, you're cutting out on me again. Do it. Call me back. Darn it, this call just dropped. He'll call me back. This is my good friend Terry Koz from the great state of Missouri. Welcome, sir. Welcome back home.
Howdy. How are we doing today?
Well, good, good. Waiting to get Rob to call back. I was losing his signal. Must have been on the cell phone. That happens. If you call in and you're on the cell phone, there's a possibility your signal cuts in and out. He'll call back. Rob will call back.
Right. No, right now we're on our way. We're driving. We're in Kansas City, and we're going to approach our hotel. Tomorrow, my wife, Pam, is swearing in for her American citizenship because she's from Thailand. So
yes.
We're going to have another conservative voter. She's really upset that she didn't get to vote for Trump.
We'll get another shot at it. Hey, is this Rob? Have I got Rob back on again?
Yeah, I'm back now.
Ah, very good. All right, let's start again.
Just one quick announcement. I'm gonna make one small one video commentary about my trip to Puerto Rico. And I know you've been following my some of my updates from Puerto Rico, and I'm going to make one final commentary, and I am sure that it's going to piss some people off because it's going to be a little bit of criticism on the differences on how some people are grateful and how some people are not, how some people don't prepare their ass, they can't take care of their own selves. But yet, some people can. And, it comes out to be city people are city people and country people are country people. And so I'll let you look at that, John, and then if you like it, we can just share it to Country Radio Network.
We can.
It might be interesting to see some of the other political things that I found out that's going on down there.
Uh-huh.
Like, why they should not be blaming Trump.
Right.
So.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, man. All right, other than that, I'm just going to listen in, okay?
All right, my friend. Mr. Rob, go ahead, sir. Now,
I'm not sure where I died out at.
Let's just start it over again. What's your definition of homesteading?
For me, it's trying to be as self is being able to take care of yourself is the best you can. Like I said, we grow a lot of our own vegetables. We raise a lot of our own meat. We are still on the grid. We have solar and wind in the works. Not quite there yet. We garden. We raise the animals. And now I've been getting more and more into being able to raise my own animal feed. So, therefore, we can keep the full circle going on our property. Now, we are on 7 acres. We have a dozen dairy goats, a handful of chickens, a dozen turkeys, and a couple of pigs.
So,
this past year, this past gardening season, we were container gardening. We had your normal garden out in the ground. I grew about 3/4 of an acre of feed corn, and that we harvested by hand on the ear, and we'll grind it as we need it. And we're just trying to do everything by hand. And I'm trying to buy all the tools that could do it on my hand in case of a loss of grid. Then we can continue to do as much of it as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We heat with wood. We catch all of our own water off the roof. We have a 8,000 gallons cistern in the ground. We've got hand pumps and all that stuff to be able to access the water. And we're just trying to be as self-sufficient as we possibly can.
All right. When did you start homesteading?
I bought this property back in 2009, and it was just raw ground. It took me about a year to build the house, and then been going every year. I've been trying to increase what we're doing.
Very good. All right. You said it took you a year to build the house. Did you have something in mind in a way to build it? For example, did you build it to the back of your mind? Did you build it with, say, defensive measures in mind? Or just regular?
I didn't. I was not into the prepping end of it as much as I am now. So looking back, if I was to rebuild this house today, there are things that I would do differently.
Uh-huh.
I was, at that point in time, I was after efficiency. I wanted this uh-huh. house to be as economical to operate as I possibly can.
Uh-huh.
During the winter time, our electric bill is about $60. So, and like I said, our water is off a roof. We have a septic system here, which is all gravity fed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
In case of a loss of power, that will still operate. So, that at that point, that was my main goal. I was trying to go off grid.
All right. Okay. You know, one thing. You know, I want to put a note in here because I was thinking about this afternoon. I was thinking about our show, and you mentioned, you know, you wanted to be off grid. I want your listeners to understand something, and I want you to keep it in the back of your mind, and that is this. As preppers, for example, you know, I don't speak for all of them. I'm going to speak for myself, and that is this. I want to stay on the grid. I want the grid to stay up. I do not want the grid to go down. I don't. Life is easier with the grid up.
It really is.
However, if the grid goes down, then that's why we're preppers. If you run across a prepper who says, I can't wait for the grid to go down, run. Run away. Because that person, that individual, has some serious issues. Now, I can't imagine somebody who says, you know what, I want the grid to go down. I mean, life is hard enough as it is. The grid down is going to make it harder and more dangerous. And there's a whole bunch of other issues that go down, that go with when the grid goes down. So just, you know, and they're all little things, all little details that all add up to big things in the long run. So, go ahead.
I'm sorry,
ahead,
I didn't talk over you. But no, I completely agree with you on that one. And like I said, our electric bill in the winter time is about $60 a month. It's going to cost me to do a proper solar system to be able to run this house somewhere in the neighborhood of about $8,000. You take
okay.
that $60 bill and you start going into a return on investment, then you'll never get there. By the
right.
time you start to get close, you're going to probably be replacing batteries and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
My goal for solar is, and I guess I was a little bit misleading when saying I wanted to go off the grid. I want to have enough solar here to be able to run. I've got two deep freezers and a refrigerator. I want enough solar to run those three items, along with a couple lights here and there. One of the things is, at any time, we could have a full cow, a pig or two, and possibly 100 meat chickens in there. You start adding that up, and that's a lot of money. That is if
right.
we had a major ice storm or something like that, and that goes down. We do have a propane generator, but if I'm not here, yeah, the freezers will stay cold for a day or two until I can get home from work and all that kind of stuff. But I would like to be able to run those three items. If we did have a grid down situation, like an EMP or whatever, having a refrigerator and an operable freezer would be worth its weight in gold.
Right. Right. I got a question. You know what? I got a question for all of you out there. You know, we all, when you say grid down, we all automatically think in the first few seconds, no electricity. Electricity goes down.
Okay.
Fair enough. But what about the gas line? You know, would they stay up? And if so, for how long could they stay up? You know, that, I don't know the answer to it. And I've always, you know, just thought about that too. But just some of the things I've been thinking about when I was thinking about this show this afternoon. Does anybody have any answers for that? Because I don't know the answer for it.
What I would think would be the biggest effect of the gas line is I don't know what kind of daily human interaction it takes
right.
to keep the gas pumps going. But
right.
if that person is stuck in a grid down and that particular person or that particular group of people can't get to where they need to be to keep the things running, that I think would affect it more than anything.
No, I agree. I'm just I agree with you 100%. It's like I don't know how much human interaction there is with it. Now, granted, there are natural gas, you know, lines all over this country. I mean, they're underground pipelines. They go everywhere. I get it. But I don't know, like you said, I don't know how much human interaction, you know, I don't know enough about the natural gas system nationally or regionally to figure that one out. So I thought I'd put it out there as food for thought for all the listeners. All right.
Well, and that kind of leads to almost the same thing. If we just
right.
have civil unrest, I've worked at power plants for making electric. If we
yeah.
have a large enough civil unrest situation, and those people cannot get to work and get the supplies that they need, and a lot of those power plants, you know, they run on natural gas. You got some that run on steam and blah, 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 and all that. Just having the civil unrest and blocking people from getting where they need to be in their daily lives could potentially cause the grid to go down.
Right. No, I'm just putting it out there. Now, Dale S., he just joined us here in the video chat room. He put down his comment is, I doubt if any of the pipelines are gravity-fed, and I have to agree with him. You know, I don't know enough about the infrastructure of the natural gas lines. I just don't. I don't know. Not afraid to say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. There you go. Well, okay. What else did you want to say about the homesteading there, Rob?
I guess with you hear everybody going, one of the major conversations within the prepper world is bugging in versus bugging out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I understand that, you know, you get people in the inner cities and major subdivisions and all that kind of stuff that plan to bug out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you're going to bug out to. If my whole theory on that is, if you can't make it within your own home and in your own property, how are you going to make it roaming the streets? So it's just to me to give this the best run that I could possibly give in some kind of a situation that the homestead is where you need to be. I guess I'm not trying to sound like an ass about it, but I just don't see it.
I think, you know, we talked about it on this show many times, bugging in versus bugging out. And unless you have a refuge to go to, it's probably bugging out should be your last option. Now, Porky Wheel over in Northern Ireland says, he says, we had that problem with civil strikes back in the 70s. He's talking about the gas lines and whatnot. He said, and the Army had to step into the power stations. So there you go. Interesting. Now, Dale S., he has a question for you. I'd like to hear your thoughts on. He says, what about saving seed and growing heirloom-type plants in the garden? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Everything that we try to grow around here, is we try to grow as much heirloom as we possibly can. And we do save our seeds. We save the seeds out of the bush beans that we grow. We save the watermelons and all that kind of melons. And there was some stuff that we did grow just because it's high volume. And to build our stocks up, we grew cucumbers. And they just went nuts, and my wife canned probably 100 pints of pickles. And one thing that, since we're on the topic of the gardening and everything else, we did two separate types of gardening this year. My wife did a container garden on our back deck where she had, I think, 10 of the old galvanized, old-fashioned wash tubs that we picked up at yard sales and flea markets and everything else. I don't think we paid more than $10 per one. And it was amazing to see how much vegetables and produce that she was able to make off of that. So for people to sit there and say that you don't have room for a big garden, you don't need it. If you've got a back deck, a back patio, set these things around your house, you can produce a lot of what you need.
All right.
But,
you know, it's part of homesteading, though. I mean, that's part and parcel of the whole definition thereof. No, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Porky Wheel wants to know why you don't do a segment on CRN on Saturday or Sunday nights. He wants to know why you won't do a show.
I asked
you over a year ago, and so
I remember.
Explain to the rest of the world why.
Well, I guess I'm following in some of the other people's. I just don't know if I have enough information to put out every week.
What? What? You think I got all the answers? I don't have all the answers. I got you guys.
You're our fearless leader.
Oh, God. Please. I sit here and think of these questions like, I don't know enough about this. Yeah, I don't have all the answers. Ask any of the other listeners. See, I think... there you go. Thank you there, Porky Wheel. I think you got a really good information about homesteading. Mainly because you're living it. And that gives you the opportunity to come and talk about, you know, success, failures, what works, what doesn't work. I think that's... And that's never-ending. As for, you know... I'm just putting it out there, man.
See, I'm not an expert in anything. I'm just out here with cool hard knocks.
There are no prepping knocks. Whoever says they're an expert in prepping, I challenge them. Give me your credentials. Where have you lived where the grid's gone down that makes you an expert? Terry came back from Puerto Rico where there is no infrastructure. If Terry was still on, he didn't hang up on us. If Terry was still on, I'd ask him, Terry, because you're in Puerto Rico, does that make you a prepping expert? I guess he'd say no, because Terry's a very modest guy, believe it or not. But, you know, so don't worry about people saying, well, I don't know enough. I started this show and I knew practically nothing. I've been learning from you guys as I go along. And I'm glad we got some really smart listeners here, my friend. And if you don't know, you ask the question, somebody will get the information out for you. You know, I mean, it's something to think about. Oh, Dale would like to.
I try to talk to. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Dale has a question for you. He'd like to know. He wants to know about other ways of preserving meat, canning, smoking, that kind of thing. Can you comment on that?
Oh, it just slipped my head. There is a method of dry curing meat. It is, you do light layer of salt, apple cider vinegar, and coriander seed. You're almost essentially making a beef jerky, but your slices of meat are about an inch thick is what they recommend. And you end up setting this meat out overnight on a sheet. It's best if you can hang it. Some people build specific boxes for doing this, but essentially you just wipe the meat down with the apple cider vinegar, a light layer of salt, and then the coriander seed on both sides. Let that sit overnight. The next day, you take that and you pat it dry, both sides, repeat the salt again, and let that sit in a cool, dark room for about a week. No refrigeration whatsoever. I'll have to get back with you on what they call it. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of it. But there's a bunch of YouTube videos on it.
Okay.
It's a it's an African-style thing. But you can – there's – the smoking the meat we have not gotten into yet. I have a next-door neighbor of mine who was born and raised on this particular farm. He lived his whole entire life on this farm. And he is as old school as we come. And I pump this guy for information every chance I get. Actually, I think we're his entertainment in life. We've got our small little goats and my small little tractor and you know, all stuff. And all this guy's done is farm his whole entire life. And he smokes a lot of his and me when he starts butchering hogs and stuff. And it's definitely something that we're going to dig into this year.
Okay. Porky Wheel has a question. He wants to know, do you compost or does he use fertilizer? If you do compost, do you use heat or worms? And what do you think is the best?
We pull, I dig our, we've got chicken coops and turkey coops. And we drag that out as often as I can. And the chicken fertilizer is about one of the best that you can get. We do not have the worm farms. I've checked into it, and actually my father has mentioned that he would like to start a worm farm. So I might see if I could put him on that one.
Oh, there you go. Bring the family in. Make sure they have a stake in it.
Right.
Guess what?
Yep.
They'll be more than happy to cooperate with you in other ways as well. You get a gold star tonight for that.
if I might, I would like to just say one thing. I posted on Contra Radio on the page yesterday about my father. He was on an honor flight. He is a retired cop, and he was in the Navy, two tours in Vietnam, was a crime scene investigator for 30 years, and his family is very proud of him. And I just like to do a shout-out to him.
They should be. Absolutely, they should be. You know, too many times we all say, well, thank you for your service. Do we really mean it? I mean, let's be honest about it. Or is that just the thing to say? You know what? I think most people really mean it. And to go along with what you're saying, I was up in Lake Geneva about 3 weeks ago, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, went to this restaurant. It's called Popeye's. Not the Popeye's chicken franchise. This one was just a local restaurant right there on the lake, and it has they have their fish fry going. Anyways, we're sitting there eating, and then all of a sudden, over the public address system, the hostess comes out, and she grabs the mic, and she says, attention, everyone in the restaurant, we have a World War II veteran in our house tonight. Please give him a hand. You know what? Everybody did. Everybody clapped and all that. The old man, he had to be about 80, his 80s, stood up, took off his hat, you know, did one of these things, you know, thank you.
So, you know, too many times we say thank you for a service, but do we really mean it? And something my mom told me, and then we'll go back to it. Her father, a colonel in the artillery during World War II, had she was about. She remembers overhearing a conversation. She doesn't remember who he was talking to, and she always remembered it. And she told me about it 6 months ago, and she said, because I heard my dad say, "I'm so glad I didn't have any sons." And I looked at her and said, "Why would he say that?" Just he was talking to somebody, and he said, "I'm so glad I didn't have any sons because I wouldn't want them to see and endure what I had to during the war." I'm thinking, wow. That's saying a lot. Anyways, going back to your homesteading. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so you're going to get your dad into this, which is good. That gets the rest of the family involved. Let me ask you something. Do you have provisions for your mom and dad and your in-laws to join you on the farm?
We have, back when you and I first talked about a year or so ago, I had asked the question, I was working about 60 miles from home. And if the need be, I got to walk home. And one of the things that I had brought up on that was the path that I was going to be taking was going to take me within about a mile of my parents' house.
Okay.
So, yes, it is my plan to get them one way or another. And they do have – they also have mountain bikes. And mm-hmm. they're both in their early 70s, but they're active and they move around and they've done everything else. And I don't I'm in the process actually of putting them a bag together, and then I'm going to leave at their house. I don't know if they would actually go out and put one together themselves, but I'm in the process of putting one together for them. But
right.
Yes, it has been talked about that they will join us at some time.
All right, I'm just putting it out there. Now, when you go homesteading, just off the top of your head, general figure. How much money have you spent on homesteading, and how much money do you think you have saved since you've been homesteading?
My wife is on the other end of this, and she's listening, so I can't really. So I'm not going to put the number
out
there because I'll get shot.
Ask her. We want to know.
I will honestly say that.
Go put her on the line. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Go get her. Go get her. Put her on the line. I'll ask her. Yeah, okay. Answer the question. Or the crown
honestly,
will not be.
If you're doing this to save money, I don't think it'll happen.
Okay.
A lot of what we do, I can buy chicken and pork and that kind of stuff, you can catch sales and you can buy it for $1 something a pound. When we butcher our meat chickens, it works out to be about $2 a pound by the time they're all said and done. But the thing is, we know where that meat came from. We know what's in it. We know what it's been fed. We have the capability of doing it ourselves, and we get this satisfaction of knowing that we've done this ourselves. There's an old saying, if you want to make a small fortune in farming, you better start with a big fortune.
Love it. All right, let me ask, you know what? Now, you said your heating bill for the winter is about $60. Is that right?
That's my electric bill. That's my
electric
bill.
Okay. So when you go to get – when you get your solar panels, all right, you do the Ryan and Gary thing and you get your solar panels rolling, will you be selling electricity back to the utility?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay. So you're going to, you figure it's going to run you about $8,000 for the solar panels, the system, all that stuff?
That was if I was to do a large enough solar system to completely run my whole entire house, I'm looking at doing about 1,800 watts, and I should be able to do that for about $1,000.
Okay.
That's panels and batteries and all the components. So the price of solar panels has dropped dramatically. Brian had mentioned once a while back about buying panels on eBay and Craigslist and everything else. 2 years ago, if you could buy a panel for $1 a watt, you were doing good. Now you can buy it for 40 cents a watt, 50 cents a watt.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
They have dropped. They have dropped.
Wow. That's amazing. And the listeners
so,
like that. I'm getting little thumbs up across the screen in the video.
I'm looking
like
for just a little bit of – my solar panels are more of a security measure, I guess
mm-hmm.
we'll call it, or a convenience measure to be able to have, like I said, the deep freezers in the refrigerator should we have some kind of a catastrophe. Also, too, our range runs on LP, and we just added a second 120-gallon, the pig tanks, they call them, the upright propane tanks.
Yeah.
And that'll carry us for about 4 years. So I got two of those tanks, and that'll carry us about 4 years.
Are you planning on putting solar panels on your roof?
We have a, not on the main roof of the house, they will go on a porch roof. We've got a metal roof on our house, and it's about an 8-12 pitch, and having to climb them would be a death sentence. So, but we have, but there's going to be a lower porch roof on a south facing wall, and that's
I'll
where
give
our
a dollar.
Panels will go.
I'll give you a dollar. I want to see you do it. I'll give you a dollar. Climate, Rob. I want to watch.
I've been up that roof when I installed it. That was enough.
So, you know, so are you planning to do like the Gary or Brian thing and kind of make it like a solar panel farm, like in rows, or just want to put those panels right there on the porch roof?
They're going to go on the porch roof. I'm looking at the 305-watt panels. So
okay.
There's six of them on there. And then I was able to get a 50-foot light pole from my work. And, and then that is going to be the wind power. I'm looking at doing an 800-watt wind system.
All right.
Which will back up the solar.
All right. Wow. Brandon had checked in briefly. He's just, I mean, when I say briefly, he was here for a couple minutes. He's working from 1 a.m. to 1 p.m. So I get it. I get it. Have a good day, Brandon. Thanks for checking in with us tonight. All right.
Oh, and I just wanted to mention, too, that Dale S. is a friend of mine and a coworker as well.
He is.
Yep.
Dale's been a listener for a while.
Yes.
He's been a listener for a while.
Now, he's down in Kentucky, and we've also spoken that it's a contingency plan that he's going to most likely head our way if things get
bad. I'm glad you brought that up. Listen, hey, you listeners out there, you listeners are, you know, some of you guys are clustered pretty close to each other regionally. For example, Dale is close to Rob. There's nothing wrong with you guys reaching out and making plans together, making, you know, ideas and whatnot. Something to think about, guys. You listeners out there, said, if you're close to other preppers, make contact with them. Find out for sure. Nothing wrong with that. I think it's a great plan. I think it's a smart plan.
Well, and he's got a lot of skills that I don't have. I'm not much of a hunter. I've got everything to do it. I've been around it all my life. Know how
right.
to do it and everything else, but I don't have the experience, and he's been hunting his whole entire life. So where I raise the animals, he hunts for the animals, and if we can hunt for a deer and eat that and leave an animal here standing alive that could potentially have a baby or whatever, multiply, then we're that much farther ahead.
All right. We have a listener, James D. Now,
His comment is this. He says, anyone can homestead even in a city or small town or a small house. Even if it's just container garden, raised beds, it's not hard. Self-sufficiency is a lifestyle that can grow on you. Home power systems are doable in a yard, roof, or house, or garage, but it depends on what your needs are. So learn to be a minimalist in that regard. Heating is paramount in cold countries, cities, towns. So learn to cut wood, what type of use will burn in a wood burner easily. Learn to make one. He says, gas is my backup for our pellet stove. We spent around $400 to heat with pellets. Gas backup costs a couple hundred. We have chickens in the town we live in, goats, rabbits, and a neighbor has a potbelly pig down the street. Have rain barrels for our garden. 3B-raised beds and foraging keeps us fed as long with fishing and hunting. We live in a town, yet we live as much sustainably as possible. So it can be done. You don't have to farm.
And I completely agree with him. And it's funny that, and I'm glad that he put in that comment, because after I opened my big mouth to you about doing this show, that then I started getting nervous about what the heck am I going to talk about this whole time. Well, I called Dale today after work, and he was asking me, you know, what my plan was and everything else. I made about a 10-page list here of writing down of exactly what James had mentioned. And what got me thinking about this is, like I said, I work with Gabe. He's on he's not on the big spread and everything else. And I kind of opened his eyes within this week about some things. And I started rattling off, you know, things that he can do. So I got to thinking, what can the average person in your neighborhoods and in your subdivisions, what can these people do? You know, the blue poly barrels are on Craigslist for $10 a piece. You know, tie your downspout into them, and I mentioned the container gardening. Heating can be a challenge if your house is not set for a wood stove. I really don't, other than wood, I don't know what else you can do for heat unless you can store propane, which propane has an endless shelf life. If you can get a 500 or 1,000 gallon tank, it's not going to last forever, but it's going to get you through the learning curve, that transition period. So it buys you time to figure things out.
There you have it. All right, my friend. I got a few more minutes left. Is there anything, you know, listeners, how many of you think that Rob should do a show on homesteading right here on CRN? I'm not letting you off the hook that easily, my friend. I know you've been thinking about it for a while, and then you freak yourself out. And you get yourself crazy. Gary Mull has joined in on the video chat. Hey, Gary. I think that you should do something about homesteading. You know, one of the things that struck me is, you know, before Julie left, and she left Washington, she got to Florida, and then I saw this post from her. And she says, I'm not a prepper anymore. I'm a homesteader. James says, yes, let him. We would love it. Porky Wheel says, do it. April says, go for it, Beebs. Gabe says, do it, Rob. Yeah. And my roommate agrees. And Porky Wheel says, hello to Gary. There you go.
I think we need to make this a joint effort. Myself,
you
want to Dale,
me in.
Gary
Thank
Ball,
you.
And Brian,
oh.
Us four can all do a group chat on homesteading. I talked to Gary in the past. We had instant message back and forth. I know he's a guru in solar and all that.
Mull is a savant. When you see the picture from Gary's farm and where he's set up, and you think to yourself, I won't even figure that out. He's one of those people. Brian is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brian, you know, Brian had a show here, but he had to stop because of his wife's health problems. Those are being resolved. Brian will be coming back. So perhaps we could do that, you know, put the show, a homesteading show, together. I mean, look, there are lots of homesteading stuff. stuff on the internet. There's tons of them. Go to YouTube, go to all of them. The thing about the YouTube is this. You can't ask questions. You can't call in. Here on my radio show, you can call in. You can type in a question. You can call in a question, a comment, or whatever. My thing of it is this. Perhaps you're right. Perhaps we have to get Gary in so he has a much more reliable cell phone connection. And I'm sure he'll figure that one out. But maybe with Brian and Gary and yourself, there's no reason why you three can't have a homesteading panel, because all three of you have different experiences, different knowledge, and you guys are going to come at the same problem, but with different solutions perhaps. And that might be the way to go with it. But think
I think that's a great idea. The other thing is too is just a geographic location. I'm pretty sure Gary's more East Coast, right? He's in the Carolinas?
No, that's Tim. Gary's down in Louisiana, in the Bayou country.
Okay. Well, and then I'm Midwest, and then you got Brian out there in the middle of nowhere.
He is in the middle of nowhere. He's in the high desert of New Mexico.
Right.
And it's like, wow. Okay. But again, three different guys living in three different regions, homesteaders. Yes, some of the problems might be the same, but you're going to get three different solutions to those problems. So it could be interesting. In fact, Gary says, like, for example, he says, I have no service tonight. It's just buffering, which sucks. I understand that. But knowing Gary, I'll probably put up a massive antenna somehow, and I don't know. I have my ideas, but I'll just leave it to Gary to figure out because he's a smart guy. Being a homesteader requires some intelligence, people. And if you don't know what you're doing with it, find out. Listen to the show. You can call Gary or Brian or Rob. These guys will have the answers for you. Just something to think about. Something to think about. I think we might gotta have a new show here. I'm kind of thinking about it. I'm thinking we can get you guys together. It's like a brain trust for homesteading. Instead of one mind, I got three minds. All creative and dangerous at the same time. So. It is true. All right, my friends. Do you have any final words you want to talk about? Do you want to come back on and talk some more about this? Or what do you want to do?
I'll stay in touch with you on this and with the show and all that kind of stuff. We'll work on something together here.
We will. We can come up with something, I'm sure. Because, you know, I think a lot of us preppers like the idea. First of all, as a prepper, you like the idea of being self-sufficient. How about being self-sufficient all the time, all year round? Something to think about. You know, just an idea. You can put it out there, see what happens. I like
it. I get a lot of when everybody hears me about the animals that we have and everything else, and everyone's like, "Oh man, that's so much work." It literally took me and my 10-year-old daughter today 10 minutes to go through, feed all the goats, feed the turkeys, feed the chickens, feed the dogs, feed the pigs, water, food, everything they need. Like I said, me and my 10-year-old daughter were in and out in 15 minutes.
Wow.
There are days where you spend an hour. There are days when you're out there, you spend a whole Saturday, you know, building this, building that.
Right.
But it's more about it. It's a hobby. I'm a hobby farm, homestead, kind of all the same thing, and
mm-hmm.
I just enjoy it. So.
There you go. Wonderful. All right. Next time, you know, we'll get a hold of Rob a little bit later to figure something out here. And then we'll let the rest of you know. If you like the show, great. Let me know. I'll pass it along to Rob. I got his email. It's not a problem. I'll pass it along to him. And if we need to do a show, another show, some more on this, we can. Because let's face it, everybody says homesteading, and you're thinking, no, gee, I don't know. Maybe it's not as difficult as you think it is. Let's face it, we've all been conditioned to live on the grid. There was a time when no one lived on the grid. Case in point, the Tennessee Valley Authority provided electrical service throughout the Appalachian area to people who didn't have it. And that was only back in the 1930s. Think about it. Gabriel says, practice makes perfect. ID grid falls. It will be an easy transition. He's got a good point. If the grid falls, it will be an easy transition. Absolutely correct. I agree with you 100%, Gabriel. All right.
There was one more statement that I heard. It said, back in the old days, everybody had a horse, the rich had cars. Today, everybody has a car, the rich have horses. We've gone ass backwards.
There's a lot to be said for that. Yes. All right, my friends. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Rob, thank you for sharing some of your experience and your knowledge with us. Talk about this again. All right?
All right, well, thank you for having the platform for us.
No, it's no problem. If I can just make it work. All right. All right, Rob. You have a good night, and stay in touch. Let me get a hold of Brian and Gary, and let's see if we can put something together here. Because this has a lot of potential, I think, and I want to mull it over, so to speak. No, not Gary it, but yeah. Okay, very good. All right, Rob. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight, my friend.
All right. Thanks, John. Bye,
everyone. All right. And that was Rob A. from Indiana. All right. Okay. Only got a few more minutes here before we go. Call it an evening, another evening, another Wednesday. I haven't heard back. You know, earlier in the show, if you joined us late, I was saying, you know what? I would love to get another name for this show on Wednesday night. And I was thinking I'd use the name Nightfly. 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 Or the Nightfly. I don't know. One of those two. I haven't heard anything back on it yet. No feedback on it yet. So if I don't hear anything, I figure, okay, can't be any worse than what it is now. So anyways. All right. I believe Dawn will be back on Friday for her show. She had something happened, and she couldn't do it Friday, but she'll be doing it this Friday. Haven't heard from Julie, so I don't know really what to say. You know, if you guys are missing her or want to say hi to her, I don't know. In the meantime, I'm John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network saying thank you for listening in tonight. I appreciate it. Spending a little time. For my prepper and patriot friends out there, I say to you this. Be safe, be alert, and be vigilant. Things are going to get very interesting in the next couple months. I'm John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network saying good night and thank you for joining me.